I think that my first future quest, I was 13. And you know what's kind of cool? Is right now, today, my son is 13 in here right now. You guys want to see who my son is? All right. Steven, where you at? I'm just kidding. My kid's not Steven. Gavin, up in the corner. Stand up right now. Gavin, look how cute he is. Woo! That's my son. His name is Gavin. He's probably going to get taller than me. If you're a dude in here, let's make him feel weird. When you see him outside, give him a hug, okay? It'll be really weird. Also, I have someone else really important to me, a couple other important people in here. If you guys look up, see where it says 152? Ding, ding. Right up in the crow's nest up there, you can see my wife and all my kids. I don't know if you can see them. I can't see them. But that is my wife. If you're a dude in here, don't hug her, okay? And that's my kids. I got Josiah, Wave, Landon, and Trey up there. I don't know. I can't see them very well. But they're all up there right now. All right, you guys, I got a question. How many of you think we should pray to start off? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for everything that you've done here over the last couple days. Thank you for all the decisions that have been made. Lord, all the people, all the kids that decided that they're going to grow in you, that they've committed this year and the next to you, Father. We pray that as we get into your word, that you would feed us again. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. So, 153. Okay. I'm doing math inside my head. You guys know what this is? It's an idiot holding a string. But do you know what this is now? Who said that? Who said pendulum? All right, smart people. Listen, let me explain to you guys something. In life, there's a couple laws that govern the entire universe. How many of you guys have heard the law of gravity? Can you guys break the law of gravity? No. And the only people that say yes have broken limbs, okay? You cannot break the law of gravity. There are other laws. There's the law of motion. There's the law of friction. There's all these laws that govern our universe. And let me just tell you something about the pendulum. Let's see if we believe this right now. The law of the pendulum is interesting because it uses a number of these laws, like the law of gravity and the law of friction. Can I have the question right now? If I let go of this right now, this pendulum, and it swings to one side, and then it swings to the other, will it hit the same point twice? Why not? Because of gravity, because of friction. How many guys have swung in a swing? Right? You got in a swing at a playground or at someone's house, and you swung. Did you stay at the same height the whole time? You slow down, wouldn't you? Let's see this. You think it's going to slow down? Let's see. I'm going to put my hand. Come real quick. I need your help. Okay, yeah, you. You could do it too. Come on. The guy I asked was like dazed, like, wait, where am I? Hello? Okay, put your hand out. Let's just see this thing real quick. Put your hand out right now. Okay. Is this going to hit the same point twice? Don't move your hand. Good job. Ready? Let's see. Almost, huh? But did it? Is it slowing down? Okay, thanks, man. What was your name again?
Sebastian.
All right, thanks, Alfred. Appreciate it. All right, here's the deal with the law of the pendulum. It won't hit the same place twice because there's laws that govern the universe. How many of you guys agree that it cannot hit the same point twice because you cannot break laws that that govern the universe? I need a girl right now. I want a girl to help me. Let's get a high school girl. Let's get a, I want a sophomore girl. Are you a sophomore girl? Come here. Dude, we got a peacock over here. Okay. What's your name?
Ksenia.
Okay. Milgret. All right. I have a question. Do you believe in the law of the pendulum that it cannot hit the same point twice?
If you swing it hard enough, it might.
No, no, no. No external forces.
Okay.
No, it can't, right? Nothing that you can do at all. Is there anything that I can do to move physics to make this work except for adding extra energy? Okay. You sound confused. Are you sure?
I feel like you're going to prove me wrong here.
All right. You guys, just tell me, do you believe it or not?
Yes.
Okay. You guys, I need you to say something with me. Three words, okay? No, four words. No, we're going to do three words. I just switched it. On the count of three, I want you guys to all yell out really loud, release the pendulum. Are you ready? One, two, three. Release the pendulum. What was your name? Okay. All right, you guys, Ksenia is her actual name, not Margaret or Mildred or whatever I said before. Cassandra.
Ksenia.
Come here, Ksenia, jump up here real quick. Ksenia. What is this?
A bowling ball.
This is more than a bowling ball. Listen, this is a pendulum. Come on. But it's okay because you already know something to be true. Here's what we're going to do. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
We're going to see if she really believes and she has faith in what she says to be true. Ksenia, come over here. Stand up against this. You guys are just going to have to look on the screen. Stand up all the way against this. Turn around. Back up against it. Now, Ksenia, we're going to take this bowling ball and we're going to put it right by you. You don't have to do this. But we're going to put it up to your face. We're going to let go. And you're saying, what you're saying is this bowling ball will not come back up and hit you. Is that true or not true?
It's true.
Do you want to try this or not? You don't have to. Okay, should we let her try it? Now, are you at all worried? How about this? Before we try it, you guys, let's watch this video real quick. Come here. Let's watch this video. Let's watch it again, one more time. Are you sure? Because you know what happened right now, right? That girl's got summer teeth. Do you know what summer teeth are? Some are over here, some are over there. But you still want to do this. Okay, should we test it first though? Hold on, wait. Should we test this first? Let's actually bring it forward. We're gonna bring it forward a little bit because you're a little bit shorter than when I tested on myself, okay? Should we just test this before we actually do it? Here, come over here so everybody can see and make sure that it doesn't hit it. It'd be a real bummer if you went home with summer teeth. You ready? Okay, we're gonna drop it. Oh, whoa!
You put your shirt up first.
Okay, maybe I cheated a little bit. Are you ready? Okay, come here. Ksenia, how many of you guys are ready to see this happen? Who in here is like, Ksenia, no, don't do it. You got some people that love you out here. Okay, you wanna hold this? Okay, put it up to your face. Okay, what's it smell like? It's a lot of sweaty fingers that have been in that. It smells like cinnamon, she says. That's weird. Well, at least we know her nose doesn't work in case it gets broken. Okay, are you ready? Put it all the way up to your chin, and you can't move. Are you ready? It's not gonna happen like what we saw up there though, right?
No.
Okay. Ready? Let's count her down. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh! Oh, you made it! Okay, here. Good job. You can go down. Listen, find John Oyoa later. He's gonna give you $5, okay? He's not gonna give her $5. Listen, I love that analogy because you guys, that analogy, gosh, I have so much stuff up here. That analogy proves something. It's a war that goes on inside of our lives every day. It's the war between our mind, say our mind, and our heart, say our heart. Listen, it's the war between your mind and your heart. What you know to be true. All of us know that there are laws that govern this world that makes it so that pendulum, it is impossible for that pendulum to come and hit her in the face, isn't it? But when your life is on the line in front of the pendulum, it's not about what you know anymore. It's about what you have faith in, isn't it? It's about what you believe is going to be true, what you believe is going to happen. What we just watched is the war inside of everyone, every one of us, about factually understanding things and actually living them out, about understanding things in our brain and knowing it inside of our being. You know, it's easy to believe in something, isn't it? It's easy to believe a truth, but to put yourself behind the truth where you're either gonna get hurt or you may look bad or where fill in the blank, it's a lot harder to live it out. It's easy to believe in the law of the pendulum when all it is theoretical. Do you know what theoretical means? It's factual. But when we have to put ourselves in front of something, we see what's really inside of us. Isn't that the truth? And it's easy to believe things about God. You guys have been at Future Quest for a couple days. How many of you guys are involved in a church? Don't yell at church your name. Just put your hand up. I wanna see. Man, almost all of you. It's easy to believe the things that our youth pastors say. It's easy to believe the things that our parents maybe have told us about the Bible, but it's an entirely different thing when our lives are on the line in the real world to see those things actually come out. It's hard to do it. Has anybody been in bungee jumping in here? What? Are you kidding me? That many of you? Where'd you go bungee jumping? I don't remember where. Okay, I would remember where I went bungee jumping. Listen, here's the thing about bungee jumping. I know for a fact that if I jump off the platform, that the bungee jump is going to do what it's done to the last 2,000 people. But there's this war of what I know and what I believe and have faith to do. And to this day, I still have never bungee jumped. Because it's not about what I believe, it's about what I'm willing to live out. What about spiders? How many of you guys like spiders? Yeah, okay. I want you to keep your hand up and slap yourself across the face, knock some sense into you. Here's the deal about spiders. It's the same war, it's the same thing. So look at, I know I'm bigger than a spider. I'm badder than a spider. I will whoop a spider's butt, let me tell you right now. But when a spider, good job, someone give him a piece of candy, okay. Listen. But when a spider starts to roll up on me real fast, I lose my crap and I run, okay? It's something that's in my head that doesn't always translate down to our hearts. It's easy to believe in the promises of, it's easy to believe in the promises of God. It's easy to believe intellectually what, I love what Josh Griffin said. He was talking about, you know, these little changes inside of our life, these little things that we give up, that we don't follow God and changes an entire trajectory. Isn't that what he was saying? And it's easy to understand, but when you're in the moment where you have to make that decision, you're in the moment that you have to decide what you're gonna do. You're either gonna do what you know God has called you to do, or you're gonna do what all of your friends expect you to do. In the moment, it's that war between the head and the heart. Do you know that they say the greatest distance in the world is between the head and the heart? It's an interesting thought. Someone, why would they say that? Someone, does anybody know why they would say that? Someone take a stab at it. I want to hear.
No, I was not.
Why, William?
Because
we're gonna call you curtain guy.
Okay. So because the head basically looks at things from a logical point, but from the heart point, it's basically instinct. And so the distance is so different because one looks around at things a totally different way from the other. So it's very difficult to because
yes, yes. Even though it's only this far. Yeah, come on, curtain boy. Curtain boy. William, you like chalupas? Taco Bell's got two for you. Just say the Chalupa King sent you. They'll give them to you, okay? They won't give them, but it will be funny. Here's the deal. They say that the greatest distance in the world is between the head and the heart because it's so easy to believe things, but it is so difficult to live them out. Faith is easy. Faith is not complicated. Faith is easy to understand. God made everything. Therefore, he should be in control of everything and all of our life should point towards him. It's easy. Faith is easy, but living it out is really hard, isn't it? That's why I think that God put an entire chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11. It's the faith chapter. You guys read the faith chapter. It's an entire chapter in the Bible to just brag and show what faith is like. But I will tell you this, I've read this chapter so many times, and something inside of this chapter has always bothered me. Can I share with you what's bothered me? You know, normally when you're gonna do something, you put your best first, right? You start with your best. Is that true? Like when you're gonna post an Instagram photo, you take like, girls, you take like 100 pictures. It takes 90 minutes. And then another 90 minutes of filtering. We know what you do. We guys know. And then you put this picture up, the best one that you can make. It doesn't even look like you. Your friends are like, who's that? And you're like, that's me. And they're like, no, it's not. We put the best one out. We put our best one out and we leave the picture that makes us look like a three-tooth pirate trash digger away, right? We don't put those ones out. We always show our first. What about sports? Dudes in sports. Who do we put out first? Our best players. We leave our John Uoas in the dugout. We start with the best. But let me show you in Hebrews 11. I want you guys to read this. This has always bothered me a little bit. Can I be bothered with the Bible a little bit? Of course I can. Of course I can, but I'm gonna obey it anyway. But listen, he says this, Hebrews 11 verses 4 and 5. This is who Jesus is starting out his faith hall of famers. This is like his main dudes. And he's like, if you ever wanna know faith, look at these guys. He starts with this guy. By faith, Abel is the first person he starts with. Who knows who Abel is? Who's Abel? Say it really loud. Right here, you with the looking at me with your hand up. Had your hand up. Yeah. Game on, bro.
Abel is the first guy born on the earth.
Yeah, he was. Good job. I didn't think anybody said it. And what is he known for? Yeah, he was really faithful and his brother killed him. Listen, the first person that God starts Hebrews off with is by faith. Hey, you can have some chalupas too, okay? By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained his testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now we're gonna look at the second person. So first off, of all of the people that God could start with, I mean, we're talking like Elisha and Samuel, he starts off with Abel. The second person, verse 5, he says, by faith, who's that guy? Yeah, good job, Enoch. I thought someone was gonna say Enoch. By faith, Enoch. Who's Enoch? Someone tell me who Enoch was. Do you really know who Enoch is?
I think Noah's like great-grandfather, I think.
Noah's great-grandfather, I have no idea. Maybe, you can have a chalupa too, okay? Most of us have no idea at all who Enoch is. Number two, he says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He was taken up into heaven without dying. How many people has that happened to?
Two.
He was one of them. But what did he do? Look, I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Abel and Enoch, but come on, man. Like, Moses is in the Bible too, you know? We're going to talk about faith. Let's talk about Moses. This whole chapter is filled with Noah. Was Noah a guy that showed tremendous faith? Every single one of us know who Noah is. Because of his faith, he built a boat in the mountains like a nutcase because God told him to. He had faith. He had faith that what God says, that he was gonna work out. And here we have these two guys. Now let me tell you, these two guys inside the Bible only take up 10 verses. Say 10 verses. 10 verses. Together. Noah's next. He takes 4 chapters. Abraham's in it. That's 14 chapters. Moses takes 4 books. But God starts with Abel and Enoch. Why would God choose these ordinary, normal men to kick off his parade of faith? Why would he do this? And I always wondered, why them? Why not King David? Why not Samuel? Why not Neil? I believe that God used Abel and Enoch first. You ready? I believe that God used Abel and Enoch first precisely because they were ordinary men, not known for great deeds. Instead, what made them distinct is that in everything that they did it to please God. Is that true about those two? I'm going to show you how true. And I love, actually, as I realized this, as I read the scripture and I said, God, why these guys? As he started to reveal it to me, I started to get excited about why he gave it. And I can't wait to share this with you. What happened with Abel? Out of the abundance of Abel's heart, he gave the best sacrifice. He gave his best. You guys remember that? He gave of all that he had, he gave his very best. We give our best to what we care about the most. Is that true? Do we give our best to what we care about the most? For Abel, he didn't just believe factually, he lived it out actually. It wasn't just knowledge inside his head. It was who he was becoming. It was a passionate response to a Jesus that had not only captured his mind, but captured his heart. And he wanted to live it out. And so he gave his very best. All of us give our very best. Every single one of us give our very best to what we care about the most. Some of us, we give our very best to our social media. We give our very best to that TikTok post that we're going to put, or that Instagram post. We craft it. In fact, we spend more time on our social media platforms than we do on anything else. We're always thinking about it, hoping for the next like, the next comment, and it consumes our mind. In fact, we go to places just so that we could have pictures to post. We give our very best to what we care about our most. Some of us really, 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 really care about Fortnite. Oh man, is this guy picking on Fortnite? Oh yeah, I am. Listen, shh. I'm not picking on Fortnite, I'm picking on this. We give our best to what we care about the most. Some of us sit in here and we're literally in this moment thinking about like no scoping someone, right? In the game. We're thinking about all of these ideas inside the game of things that we can do, and actually Fortnite has taken over most of our life, most of our free time, because we give our best to what we care about the most. Maybe it's looking good. I learned a new word from Carl, my drip. You guys ever heard that word before? It's a good one, man. I don't actually care about my drip, but I thought that was a really cool way to say it. Some of us care so much about the way we look, the clothes that we wear, the shoes that we have on. We put all of our time, we care about what we give most. And here, Abel cared most about God, and he gave God his very best. I love this. And Enoch. We don't even really know who Enoch is, so I want to read the two verses about Enoch. Genesis 5, 22 through 24, it says this. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked, say walked. With God, and he was not, for God took him. So basically, at 365 years old, God came down. He's like, what's up, Enoch? Come on up. And he's like, do I have to die? And Jesus is like, no, come on up. Just don't tell my dad, right? But what I love is there's a word there. What word did I tell you to say? Walked. That word walked is not like the way we use the word walk. That word walk in the Hebrew means continuous walk, not stopping walk, growing and growing walk, which meant for 360 years, Enoch grew closer and closer to God, because for Enoch, it wasn't about what he knew only. It was about connecting what he knew to his heart and living it out. It wasn't about understanding factually, but it was about living it out actually. And every year he got better. Does anybody in here know someone that's grown and grown with the Lord for 360 years? I submit that they do not. He walked with God. In other words, what I'm trying to express here is this, that God is not necessarily impressed with mighty deeds of faith. He's impressed with young men and women who just want to put him first in their life. Do you understand this right now? He starts off this chapter with these two guys because it's not about the great deed of faith that you're going to do. He's more interested in the young person that is just going to give him everything, not just their head, but also their heart. Not just what they understand, but how they're gonna live. And I love this passage. Because, you know, the truth is I'm not gonna be a Moses, right? Let my people go. I'm not gonna be a Moses. I'm not gonna be a Noah. How many of you guys are gonna be a Noah in here? Look, I'm probably not gonna be a Noah either. I'm not gonna be one of these incredible people that do these incredible heroes of the faith. I'm probably just gonna be Neil. But you know what's neat? God's not looking for Noahs and Moseses and Elijahs. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for Neils. What's your name? Yeah. He's looking for Camerons. Do you guys understand this right now? What's your name? He's looking for Haleys. What's your name? Blue shirt. Yes. He's looking for no names. I don't know what he said. I think he said no name. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What's your name back there? San Diego shirt. Danny. He's looking for Danny's. Or nannies. Listen, here's the cool thing about God. We worry that God wants us to be this like pastor or missionary who moves to, I don't know, wherever, Africa. But you know what God wants more than anything? He wants people who connect their head to their heart, who live out what they know. Kids inside of Future Quest who heard these incredible messages that have been going on that make the journey from their head to their heart to live it out. Kids who, like Josh said the other day, he was saying, when you make that move, when you make that decision, do you guys remember? That thing that you've done, that thing that you're thinking about doing that's gonna push you off course, God's looking for men and women, young boys and girls who look at that and say, I'm not just gonna understand it, I'm gonna live it out. I'm gonna live it out, actually. Looking for kids that live like God matters more than what their friends think, who let their passion shine out. You know, the honest truth is I know what's happened here because I went here for a long time. When I was a kid, sometimes I was here and I was like, dude, I didn't know that guy was a Christian. Don't raise your hand if you saw a friend at school, you're like, I didn't know that guy was a Christian. It's because they haven't let their head and their heart connect. Listen, let's put up 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love this scripture about God. He says this, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. He's searching. What's he searching for? His eyes are moving for those that he may. How many of you guys want to be strongly supported by God? Dude, that's going to be a good life. He is looking for those he can strongly support, those whose what? Hearts are completely his. We have way too many Christians who the relationship with God is just up here. Which means that at church and at youth group and at whatever, Future Quest, they're willing to stand up and do all the stuff they know. But when they get into the real world, then the test is when they get into the real world where their back's up against the pendulum and they have to let go, they get into the real world, they find out, has their head ever hit their heart? Do they believe God factually, or will they live him out actually? They say they love Jesus, but they go do things that grieve him. Do you guys see the difference between the head and the heart? They know scriptures that say, honor your father and mother, but it has been a long time since they've honored their father or their mother. They praise God, ooh, with their mouth. They praise God at church, but at school with their mouths, they say all types of cuss words. They've memorized scriptures, but inside, if they were true to themselves, in fact, it was actually like that guy said that that he confessed up on the screen with Josh. It said, I'm one way at church, but my friends know the real me. They're different, different inside. Reminds me of a story. This guy had lost his job. He needed a job, and he was reading the newspaper, and he saw an article about a job posting at the zoo. So he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to go check it out. And he goes and he interviews for the job. And while he's there, they like him so much, they're like, that's it. We don't need to know anything else. You're hired. And the guy says, hold up. What am I hired for? You just said a job at the zoo. I don't know what that means. And they said, it's a secret job. We couldn't post it. The job is, well, we lost one of our gorillas. He died. And we need you to get in this gorilla costume and just sit in the corner of the exhibit and eat bananas. How many of you guys are like, I was made for that job? The guy's like, I can do that. I was made for that job. So the first day, he loved it. He got to sleep. He got to eat bananas. It was fun. The second day, he wasn't tired and he was sick of bananas. So he'd start walking around his exhibit and he realized something. The more that he would walk around the exhibit, the more people would come and watch him and shout and clap for him. One day he got bored. They were waiting for this new gorilla to come. Amazon was taking a long time. And he got bored and he started climbing up this tree. And the crowd started coming. And they started throwing peanuts to him, and peanuts were a real good salty snack instead of those bananas. And he grabbed onto a vine, and he started swinging on the vine, and this huge crowd was coming, and they were all shouting, and they were taking pictures, and he loved all the attention, and he swings higher and higher, and as he swings higher, they scream louder until finally the vine breaks. And he goes flying over his exhibit into the next exhibit. The lion exhibit. He gets up and he looks and there's this lion 10 feet away from him, this huge head. And he starts jumping up and he starts yelling to the people, help, help, I'm a man in a gorilla costume, just as the lion pounces on him, holds him down and yells, shut up, you're gonna get us both fired. Listen, let me tell you right now. I love that story because that story is true. A lot of people, a lot of us young Christians, we live two lives. We have two lives going on. One life, we're a gorilla. No, I'm just kidding. That would be weird. We're split. We have these two lives. We have what we are at church, what we are at youth group, and what we are in our neighborhood, and what we are with our girlfriend, and what we are at school, and what we are on social media. And then we have what we are in a worship service, and what we are at Future Quest, and then what we are while we're on the internet. And we have these two lives that have been split inside of us. And part of the reason is because we've never let the things that we know about God enter into our heart and start living it out because we've been scared. We've been worried because we've been tricked. We've been tricked by the enemy to say it's okay to be Christian at church, but don't be Christian at school. No one will like you. No one will accept you. You know what we need? I'm gonna tell you this right now. We need Christians, young men and women who say, I don't care what the world says anymore. I don't care what the world says. I have believed their lies for too long. Y'all know where the world will get you? Lonely, empty, hurt. It will put you into slavery, and God has come to set you free. Do you know that? That's what he does. We've got to live not just factually, but actually. Can I give you guys a secret? God gave us something. He gave us something amazing, something incredible. The most powerful thing that you possess, God gave to you, something you own that's yours. I want to tell you right now, if you don't remember anything, remember this. The most powerful thing that you possess, God gave to you, it's your choice. Say choice. It's the power of your choice. We make hundreds of them all day long, don't we? Some are insignificant. McDonald's or Jack in the Box. Who are my McDonald's people? Okay. Now slap yourself in the face, you disgusting people. Jack in the Box is where it's at. Chalupas for everyone. Okay. We make choices that don't matter, whether we're going to go on Instagram, whether we're going to go on Tic Tac, Snap, Crackle, Pop. Insignificant choices, Pokemon or not being weird. Pokemon Go or not being weird. Having a man bun, being a man. You got to make these choices. Listen, but let me tell you right now. Those are insignificant choices. Those aren't the choices that I'm talking about. Uh-uh. Those are not the choices that I'm talking about. Because God also gives us the power for significant choices. I want to read you a scripture, Deuteronomy 30, 19. It says this. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I call heaven, I call earth to witness against you today that I have set before you, put your right hand up, put it out like this, life or death, the blessing or the curse. So choose life that you may live. He says this, I've placed before you life and death, the blessing or the curse. So choose life that you may live. I hope you understand this. It's literally God has given you the power of choice, and you are all going to make the choice today and tomorrow and the next day, which hand are you going to grab from? What hand of God? He says, life, the blessing, or death and the curse. He gives you both hands. Life means wholeness, happiness. It means God's reward, God's provision, God's help, God's comfort, God's closeness. And death is the opposite. It's everything the enemy has for you. It's brokenness, destruction, it's rejection, it's loneliness. It's absence of God, and it's placed in front of every single one of you. In fact, right now, you have a choice as I say this. What hand will you take from? What choice will you make? Will you keep everything inside your head, all the stuff you learn at Sunday school or at church, will you keep it inside your head, or will it start making its way to your heart? I will tell you right now, if you make no choice, what choice do you automatically get? Death and the curse. It's time we start making the right choices. It all starts with a choice to move the things that we know to be true about God in our head to our heart and our actions, to go from factual to actual, to live out what we believe, to let everyone know who we are and what we stand for. In 1860, the year I was born, there was a guy named Blondin. He was a professional tightrope walker. Walker, like Walker, Texas Ranger. Okay, he walked on a rope, everybody. That's what I'm trying to say. And in 1860, he had a line going across Niagara Falls. 1,000-foot drop. I don't know. I made that up. I have no idea how long it is. And he was walking across, and there was all of these people, they were watching. They would watch him go out there, and he would do stunts, and he would jump, and he'd make it look like he was going to fall, and he'd bring it back. And he was so good at doing this. The crowd knew that he could do whatever. He filled a wheel bin. He went across with a wheel bin. He did all kinds of stuff. And when he comes back to the side of all the people, he says to them, How many of you guys know I won't ever fall? And they're like, yeah. He's like, I could even take one of you guys across. And they're like, yeah. And then he goes to that first person. He's like, get on my back. Get on my back. The guy's like, Nope. And then he goes to another person. Do you believe that I could do this, that I could take you across? Get on my back. And the guy's like, nah. And one by one, no one in the crowd, will anybody get on my back? Not one person would get on his back, because these people, they believed something that he could do, but they didn't have faith to let him do it to them. It's time that we make a change. It's time. I'm telling you right now, it's time that you and I make a change. That we decide with all of our life to get on God's back. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? It's time. We're at the point where we don't live one foot in, one foot out, where we believe God to be true, right, but not live it out in our life. It's time for us to get on his back, test him, and see what our life will look like. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was laying in my bed. I remember it vividly. I was laying there and I was convicted under the power of God. I just found out some stuff that one of my close friends was doing, and it was bad stuff. And the honest truth was, a lot of my friends at that time were not living out their life. Actually, they kind of had it blocked. They came to church and they knew things about God, but they were more a fan than they were a follower, and they were walking away. And while I was laying on my bed, God told me, he said, you've got to make a decision. And I knew what the decision was. I knew that I was going to become who I hung out with. Is that true? The Bible says bad company corrupts good moral. You will become who you hang around. And the people that I was hanging around were gonna make me become someone I didn't wanna become. And God, I'm sitting there and God's putting it on me. And I realize that I've gotta make a decision. Maybe some of you guys have to make a decision in here today. You're gonna have to make a decision on who you hang around or what you do or what you give your best to, because it hasn't been in the right area. And in that bed, as I'm toiling with this decision, because these have been my friends for a long time, I finally grab up the courage and I say, fine, Jesus. In my bed, out loud, I said, fine, Jesus, I'm putting you in front of them and I'm going to start cutting ties. But you better make me not lonely. You better make it so I'm not lonely. Anybody in here want to be lonely? And I had this thing. Loners. I'm just kidding. Listen, and I'm sitting there and I say, I don't want to be lonely. And I am going to test you in this. I'm going to put it out. I'm going to actually live what I know to be true. And so I decided in that moment I was gonna change. You know what happened that Tuesday at high school group? This new kid came to our church, Jeremy Miller. Who knows Jeremy Miller in here? This new kid, Jeremy Miller, comes in. By that Tuesday, God had brought me someone who I had no idea was gonna be my best friend for the next 20-something years. I mean, I don't like him anymore, don't get me wrong, but he's in here somewhere. Jeremy, where are you at? Maybe he's outside of the booth. Listen. God brought me. I'll tell you this right now. Let's get the band up. I'm gonna tell you this right now. God never disappoints. He just doesn't disappoint. Now, sometimes we have ideas, but God always brings it about the right way. What we need to decide is what we're gonna do with the things inside of our head. Are we gonna let him enter our heart? There's something called the DTR. You guys know what the DTR is? Define the relationship. It's that weird, awkward moment when a dude is interested in a girl and the girl is interested in the dude, where they have to define the relationship, because right now they're just hanging out and they're gonna be they wanna be boyfriend and girlfriend. And so at some point, the guy has to have this really weird, awkward conversation. Is that a weird, awkward conversation? Yeah, how do I do this without looking like an idiot? I remember I was dating this girl named Heather, who I locked up and became my wife. She's sitting up there. Dudes, don't hug her. I remember when I had to do this weird conversation with her where I had to define the relationship. And I had no idea, and I was sweating, and I had probably BO because I was in high school. And I was nervous, and I said something stupid like, "You'd look better if I was your boyfriend," or something dumb like that. I don't remember what I said, but it was as bad as that was. I had to define the relationship. I did it like an idiot. I did it like an idiot, but she's my wife now, so I win, right? Listen. Some of us in here, right now, we've got to define our relationship with God. We have to define our relationship with God. You want to know what God says to you? He says he doesn't want to be your one of many. He wants to be your one and only. Do you know that? He's already proven it. He sent his son down to earth to die for your sins. He says, I don't want to be like first in your life along with Instagram and Pokemon, along with Fortnite and looking cool. He says, I want to be first place in your life. And I will bring you all the rewards that I promise those who follow me. I want you to become an Abel. I want you to become an Enoch. I want you to stand in front of the pendulum, not just factually, but with your heart ready to live out what I call you to at school and with your friends and in your neighborhood. He's saying, I want to define the relationship. Let's go ahead and play right now. We're about to get into this. I want you to define the relationship. So my question to you guys, are you ready to define? Close your eyes, put your heads down. Every single one of you, I'm giving you an option right now to define your relationship with God. For some of you, up until this point, it's been a factual relationship based on just knowledge of God, but no love. Knowledge of God, but not living out that knowledge. There's been a block between your head and your heart. You haven't traversed that great distance yet, and you've only believed in him. But when it came to everything else at school and all these other places, well, you found out that your belief in him was actually only theoretical. God wants right now for you to define the relationship with him, to say, okay, God, I'm gonna test you the way Neil tested you that night. I want you, right now, I want you to be my one and only. I want you to be the thing I give the most to, like Abel. I wanna walk further and further with you like Enoch. I want you to be the one and only thing in my life. And I want people at my school to know it because of the way that I live. And I want people in my neighborhood to know it. And I may have to get rid of my friends, but you're worth it. And second, if you want to make and you want to define that relationship, I'm going to have you stand up right now. Do you want to define your relationship with God, saying, God, you're more important. And I'm telling you, you're more important. And I want to start the relationship of my head and my heart coming together. And I want to mark you as my one and only. And I want to live actually, not just factually. I want you to stand up right now. Do not stand up. Wait, let me make sure. Do not stand up if you do not mean it. Stand up only if you mean that. God, it's you or bust. It's you that I want to live for. If I have to stand in front of the pendulum of life, I will stand strong. If you ask me to get on your back and take me across wherever it is, I will get on your back. Nothing is going to be in the place because I want to move my understanding of you to my heart. I want to pray over you guys right now. Father, I pray right now over this room, right before we go into worship. I pray, Lord, that as all of those that have stood up to define their relationship with you, to say they want to be with you, not just in their head, but in their all of their being to live you out, I pray right now that you would pour your presence on them. Lord, as they make the stand between you, that you would make the stand with them, that they would feel your arms around them right now, that they would feel your presence. And Jesus, we ask that you would build courage inside of them to live out what you call them to live out, that you would show them how to use the power of choice to stand for you. Lord, that you would overflow the blessings over their life, that your eyes right now searching would search and see their heart and give them your strong support, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that this is not a future quest thing, but this is their life thing. That this is their life thing. Thank you, Lord. You already defined your relationship with us when you sent your son. You gave everything. Father, we're saying we want to give everything back. Amen.